myself, Alderman Buckhauser, Transier, Tarulas, Koch, and Soling are here, along with staff. The first thing that'll be, will be citizens' comments. This is, will not be, you can ask questions, but nobody will be answering them. You're free to talk to the petitioner afterward, if he wants to talk to you. This, tonight's meeting will just move it on to the next step. No official vote will be taken on it, whether it's going to be rezoned or whatever. We're just listening to what they have to say, and then they gotta go through a couple more steps before it actually gets voted on by the council. So if anybody has citizen comments, please go to the podium, state your name, and we can start the meeting. Any citizen comments?
I'm Craig Wesley. I am here on to represent the Yorkville School District. I just want to share concerns about the Christie property rezoning. I'm using the property calculations. It's not all, sorry, I don't think it is.
There we go.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Yep.
So using the population calculation, it's estimated these 101 developments, the single family homes, can yield between 162 and maybe north of 200 school-age students. The Yorkville School District is full. We have been engaging the community recently doing our listening tours as we do our facility master plan. Here's some of the themes we've been sharing. Yorkville is a desirable community and families are moving here. In 2021, we hired a demographer, Dr. John Casarda, to study our district and our community. Here are some of the team's findings. The median age for our Yorkville community is 34.6 years old. There's been a population shift over the last 20 years. The retired population age 70 and older, has shrunk from 14% to 7% in this time. Since 2002, the school district's enrollment has nearly tripled. It was 2,400 in 2002. This year it is 7,151. And the last point with the demographer is 32% of our population is 19 and under. That's a lot of school age kids. We are in the middle of our facility master plan. The Board of Education will be asked to decide the size, shape, and number of schools for the Yorkville School District moving forward. We have got all the resources we can. We've hired a new demographer. We've hired an architect. We've hired a construction manager. Hired a PR firm to assist with the messaging to communicate the district needs. About a year from now, we're going to ask the voters to vote on a referendum to decide how we can enlarge the school district. In addition, the school district is building temporary facilities at three schools to house 12 classrooms because our facilities are full. In addition, the Board of Education has adopted policy 7.30 that allows the district to cap grade levels at certain schools and send them to other schools that have capacity. This is less than ideal, it's costly, and it's not sustainable. We are running out of room to educate all of our students that are currently here, as well as ones that are moving into existing homes, not to mention the new developments. We need your support to slow the development down and manage the growth. One of the things we'd like you to consider is using the age restricted for all 245 units and not using the age targeted. I feel that age targeted could be a little bit gray on if that's going to generate students or not. The number I shared earlier, the 101 units, those are the single family homes. I didn't even include the possibility of what age targeted student, age targeted residents could look like. Thank you for your time.
Anybody else would like to speak?
Hi. My name is Michelle Nicholson, and I live in River's Edge for 21 years and counting. I am here with regard to the Christie family property rezoning request. We moved to Yorkville because of the country setting and peacefulness it provided. When I found out last week that this project would change all of that with the density it offers, I was very upset. I have, along with many in my neighborhood, a few points of contention to address to the council, and they are as follows. Traffic on Fox and at the light of Route 47. This is a common sense observation. The area there cannot be widened to handle the amount of traffic that would be coming in from the 385 proposed homes that would be in this subdivision. You can't turn right there on Red, and now there are also semis that keep coming down from Eldemain as well, coming down Fox now. And I don't know if it's because Google Maps is telling them to go that way and not go all the way to Route 71 or what they're doing, but there are a lot of semis that are coming down Fox as well. The sheer number of cars coming out of the two main entrances of this would just be impossible for anyone to get out of our subdivision during rush hour in the morning, going to school or to work. And it's basically the only way that we can go to go either north, east, or south, you know, from our subdivision without going all the way to Eldemain Road to 34 and coming all the way around again. So I think traffic would be definitely an issue with that amount of homes that would be coming in there for Fox Road, because it can't really be widened anywhere either. So I don't know how that would even work. A second concern is our property values would decrease since the townhome and duplexes and small homes offered will not be comparable to the price points in the surrounding current subdivisions. A third concern are the schools are already burdened, as Mr. Wesley just said. And my concern is that it says it's age-restricted or age, or not restricted, but age-oriented or age-targeted, which that, like he said, is a gray area with, you don't know if how many kids then would be coming in there. If it was age-restricted, you would know no kids would be coming in to the 245 homes. And you would just have the 101 homes. So that really makes a difference as well. Fourth concern is that this type of project does not fit in with the aesthetics of what's already on Fox. The current four subdivisions that are there have quarter to about acre lots with single family homes on those lots. And we would love to keep that trend going and keep the country like setting on Fox Road. Fifth is, how long this project's going to take. I thought I heard or read that it was going to take 5 years to finish the subdivision the way it is currently projected to be. So I think that would be because of the size of that, you know, subdivision alone. 5 years is a long time to deal with the mass construction traffic coming out of there. So in conclusion, I think I speak for many by saying we don't want to be another Oswego. We want controlled, responsible growth that benefits our community and doesn't negatively impact the values of our existing homes. I feel this type of development is drawn up with townhomes, duplexes, etc., is unacceptable. Therefore, I'm requesting the elected officials of the council to please deny the rezoning. Please keep the current zoning to the, right now it's currently zoned at 98 estate lots with the housing sizes that are comparable to White Oaks, Rivers Edge, and Greenbrier. So it'd be great if we can keep it the way it's already zoned. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hi, my name is Joe Panazzo, and I'm the HOA president at Rivers Edge. And for all those reasons that were just stated, I'm hearing from a lot of people that live in our community through email and Facebook that those exact things are what people are concerned about. One of the biggest things is, as mentioned, if you come out Fox to 47, there's a turn lane that'll hold about six cars. After that, you'll be backing traffic up Fox. And it's a very fast light. You can get five or six cars through, and then that's it. There's no room for expansion. So that's a real problem in the future. And we're concerned about the density of the development as well. Quad homes, town homes, that all adds to the population and to the number of cars. So you might have 200 or 300 units, but if everybody has two cars, you're talking about 400 or 500 cars every day. So that's our biggest concern. We would just like you to take into account those things. As mentioned, there's two subdivisions, River's Edge and White Oak, which are right across the street. Most of those homes are typically selling in $500,000 at this point. And, you know, we don't need low-end housing or heavy populated housing right there at that point because of all the reasons that were mentioned earlier. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
So just one thing I want to add, Tammy Smock, River's Edge. One thing I want to add is if any of you have ever traveled west on Fox Road at about probably 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, depending on when the sun hits Fox Road, so the sun is in your eyes, it's blinding. And if you put a development and you put a intersection or an entrance exit at the top of Fox Road, right where White Oak is, and then you put another one further down, you're asking for a lot of trouble because you can't see. Has anybody had that problem? So you know it takes sunglasses and it takes the visor at a certain placement to be able to see it all. And there has been accidents. I know that probably 5 years ago, just across the street from Hoover, someone lives, that guy was coming from Plano, so he would have been heading east, and he was on a motorcycle. The person that was heading west in a pickup truck hit him. And he went underneath the pickup truck. So just FYI, that could happen a lot, especially with it right at the top where White Oak is. So that's all. I just wanted to add that point. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hey, what's going on? My name is Tim Houston. I'm a resident of River's Edge as well. I just kind of wanted to like mention that I'm not blind to the fact that progress is happening in Yorkville and that we're growing. I'm asking all of you, when you make this decision, to use common sense. I just don't think that this is the place for this time right now. My wife and I, you know, living in River's Edge, we are the type of people that take a drive through White Oaks and play the game. When we win the lottery, this is the house we're going to buy. It doesn't make a lot of sense to be putting duplexes and fourplexes across the street from that neighborhood. Again, with all the things that people said, Fox Road, it just can't be said enough how unsafe that road is already. I have young kids, and I get very nervous about it. Again, I guess my final comment will just be to please use common sense while you're making this decision. Thank you.
Anybody else? Anybody in Zoom? I think we're good. All right, anybody against moving number 5 up to beginning? So we can get to it. All right. EDC 2025-22, Christie Property Rezoning and PUD.
Okay, I guess I'll start. I'll just provide a brief overview of staff's comments on the Christie Property Rezoning and Plan Unit Development, and then I'll allow the petitioner to go into further detail about the site plan and address some of the comments that were made. So the corporation, Fox River Enterprise, is proposing to do a 345-unit mixed density residential development across about 136 acres. This would be transitioning from R1 district to a combination of an R2, R2D, which is for duplexes, and R3 district for townhomes. The plan includes, it's an updated plan, 185 single family homes, 448 duplex units, and 112 townhomes, which are the fourplex units. There is an emphasis on the age-targeted and age-restricted housing component, as was mentioned earlier. And so some few key points that were identified in my memo include the PUD modification standards. So while the plan does align with the public gathering space and age-targeted development goals, the PUD requires that at least one modification standard be met, which means at least there's one gain to the overall public. with this development. So they are addressing public gathering space and age targeted development goals. They did mention accessibility features and public roadway funding in their application. Staff will need more information for that to be a valid modification standard. The site plan adjustments, they did, as I mentioned, have a previous plan. They received some feedback from staff during an initial meeting, and the petitioner revised the layout. So they removed a central access point, they increased the park space, and they modified the unit distribution. Deviations, though, are required for this PUD development, which means they would not meet some of our standards with regards to setbacks, density, and height. There are parking concerns. The plan does not meet the townhome parking minimums of 2.2 spaces per unit. So staff is recommending additional guest parking solutions. Connectivity and roadways. Staff supports the connection to the existing roadways that are proposed for White Oaks Way, as well as south to Walsh into the Greenbrier subdivision. But we do note there's an absence of an extension to Burning Bush Drive, which could help improve circulation. There's already a stub there in the Greenbrier subdivision. A park and school land dedication per our ordinance, any residential development has to donate either land or cash or a combination of two when they develop a property in Yorkville. According to our calculations, the developer will contribute or donate 5.3 acres of parkland and provide a upfront lump sum cash payment of $504,899. So while the school contributions that they're proposing does not include a lump sum payment, payment would be collected at time of building permit over the course of the development, totaling about $1.3 million. Finally, there were community meeting components. Ordinance requires that certain requests for entitlements have an engagement component with the community prior to a public hearing meeting. So given the proposed roadway connections to the existing neighborhoods, as I mentioned, White Oak Way and Greenbrier, staff recommended that the petitioner engage those subdivisions via their HOA before a public hearing and planning and zoning. However, we are also encouraging the petitioner to extend that meeting invitation to the River's Edge and Fox Lawn developments just because of proximity to the proposed development. As mentioned in the memo, there is a tentative scheduled public hearing at the April 9th Planning and Zoning Commission.
Is Chris's mic working?
It's green, yeah. But it's going in and out.
Okay. Can you shift Chris's mic over or use Pete's? Assuming that one works too,
that's
which is not.
Can you hear me?
No.
No, it isn't working.
Try that one there.
Nope.
No.
I don't think any of the mics are working. Thank you. The final remarks is that the Planning and Zoning Commission is scheduled for a public hearing at April 9th. There are specific questions that the committee may have about some of the comments in staff memo in regards to density comparison. Just let me know, I can go into more detail, but I'll give the petitioner an opportunity to address some of the concerns.
Good evening. My name is Daniel J. Kramer. My address is 1107A South Bridge Street, Yorkville, Illinois. The attorney for the petitioners who are buying the property from the existing owners if the zoning is approved. And fortunately, being an old bird, I've been around the community for 48 years. Back in 1982 with the prior mayor, we discovered that a portion of this property was actually annexed. It was zoned single family, and not only was it platted, but the final plat was recorded. So this goes all the way back when Yorkville was the north side, or excuse me, the south side of the river, and Bristol was the north side of the river, and they combined in 73, and that's, I believe, when this project was approved. So a good long time ago, and there's been no development on it. Hearing the concerns tonight, we always appreciate input from citizens. There seem to be very nice people. I know some of them, they've lived here a long time. And there's no reason to expect that the people that would move into the homes in this community would not be nice people and be valuable additions to the community as well. As Christy has pointed out, this is just part of the journey. There will be an informational meeting that my client and his planning team will set up, and we'll certainly invite the residents from all four subdivisions that are relatively close. One of the development points that Christy pointed out was we did not initially show a connection to Burning Bush in Greenbrier, not wanting to run traffic through that neighborhood. However, if that was a staff recommendation, that's something we could live with, but there was some thought given to that by our planning team. In terms of traffic, which was an overriding concern expressed by all five people, in Illinois, when there's a county road, it stays as a county road in a municipality, unless when the property is annexed, there's an intergovernmental agreement between the municipality and the county to turn jurisdiction over to the municipality. Fox Road still is a county highway administered by the county. So we are working with the county transportation department. We will obtain a traffic study, which certainly will be turned over to the city. Right now, when traffic studies are done, the traffic engineers, I'm certainly no expert, but I've hung around development for the last 40 years, they use one of two terms. They either call it trips or warrants. Right now, the amount of cars that that road is designed for is way below the design criteria. I share some of the frustration that the folks have indicated here. When you get to Route 47 with the old fire station, thank God it's a no turn on right, because if you tried it, we'd have accidents and fatalities there every day. You're just totally blind when you're coming out to the north to make a right-hand turn. And I really am appreciative of Chief Jensen with their traffic enforcement on Route 47. You often see a lot of cars there these days, police cars, and it's because we get a tremendous amount of truck traffic that breezes through it at about 60 miles an hour. It's incredible, the speed in the middle of downtown, which is noticeably slowed down, so that's a good thing. In terms of the overall development, my client has engaged in a market study. And again, the young lady who said that she heard that it would be a 5-year build out or development, actually my client indicates to me through the study that it would probably be longer. One of the things that I think should be a highlight to the city council and the plan commission when they ultimately look at this is you're getting a semi-custom developer. It's not in the market what's known as a production developer, where they're gonna go in and they're gonna turn out 50 to 100 building permits a year, which in terms of the gentleman from the school district, that's a real tough burden to carry. We went through that as a community from about 95 till it crashed in 2007. And the school district had even more or a denser concerted development because we had a lot of production builders up and down 47 and east on Kennedy Road. So the slower velocity here is actually an advantage because you're gonna kick less kids into the school in a particular year and you're gonna have less building permits, but it's going to be attenuated out. The trade-off in that is with the semi-custom builders, and a lot of them will be local small builders that can't afford to buy lots now because they're getting the bigger production builders back in, taking bigger tranches, is you're gonna get a higher end product. When they talked about the $500,000 homes in White Oak, They were a half million a few years ago. I don't know if you can touch any of them for a half million now. Some of the production homes we see, both in Yorkville and Oswego, for a plain four-bedroom, two-story box are going between 400 and a half million. So if you get a semi-custom product, be it on a single family or a one-story duplex or the townhouse design, and they keep intact with the city overall development plan, they're going to go for substantial sums. They're not going to be entry-level housing. They're not going to be second-time move-up. They're going to be very, very nice homes. And I am sure the city staff will put my client through the design paces when they ask for this type of development. We certainly haven't tried to create any controversy or sleight of hand about the two different definitions of age restricted, which is 55 and over. Generally, it provides that no children can be there under 18 for more than a certain number of days a year visiting grandparents or something of that effect. One of the spouses could be under 55, but one must not maybe over 55. With those types of developments, I think it's like daycare at the opposite end. You could build an age-restricted community in this town, a new one every year, and still have demand not met. We've got, in all due respect to the school numbers, we do have overall in this country an aging population. One of our difficulties in Kendall County, and again, it's kind of sad, we get an awful lot of folks in my generation that are moving out of here, not because they don't want to live in Yorkville. They simply can't afford the real estate tax bill on a traditional three or four bedroom home. Those and young professionals, sometimes married, sometimes single, those are the folks you're going to get in both the age restricted and the age targeted. We had some experience with age targeted, and it does have some very specific meetings to land planners prior to the 07 crash. We did one on the west side of Oswego, and the way we creatively approached the deal was design standard. If you've got a two-bedroom age-targeted unit as opposed to a three, just by the design standard, that tends to lower the number of children. Second, if your design standard in the interior is high, that you perhaps have granite counters and upper end appliances and things of that nature, again, that tends to generate users who are not in the prime years of having young children in a school district. What we did in Oswego before the 07 crash was the component in the development I worked on that was partially, not totally, but partially age targeted, was we entered into an agreement with the school district. Every year when students are enrolled, they ask their address so they make sure they're within the district and not flipping to a different district and causing those taxpayers an expense. Again, with Yorkville in the middle, with Plano and Oswego, sometimes it's very confusing to people what district they're really in. Joliet and Plainfield, they might have a Joliet address, but they're in Plainfield School District, Park District, and so on. The agreement we entered into is when you get your enrollment figures each year, you let us know if you generated any children from the age targeted. And if you did, the developer pays the actual impact fee that goes for every child in that unit who's generated. So there's no free rides. And that's only fair. With the age restricted, you get no children, but those people still pay land cash for both schools and parks because they're benefiting ultimately with the good school district that, again, some of the people testified that we have here in Yorkville. We will seriously study the results of the traffic study, meet with the county, meet with the city, and try and come to terms with it. We'll work with the city staff on design, and that I'll turn over to my client, who is the developer and knows way more about that than Dan Kramer. But I want the members of the audience and anybody who might be zooming in to watch know that this will be fully vetted. If you looked at strictly a single family development, you wouldn't meet some of the marketing indications that are out there. You might not sell it all out in 20 years. Again, when the developers were going crazy from 2000 to 2006 with the volume of lots that were approved, nobody had an inkling that 2007 was gonna happen, and it literally totally crashed. We went from, in Northern Illinois, a very few large builders to over 50 at one point in 2005 that were building over 200 homes a year. We don't have those kinds of velocity. And again, if we go with the semi-custom development here, you're gonna have much less of an impact on the school in terms of number of students generated, the positive effect because they'll be higher priced units than production builders, generally speaking. You're gonna get higher tax revenues for the school as well. And again, as I point out, be it age targeted or age restricted, the developer knows they need to pay their way and is fully willing to embrace that. So I'll be quiet, turn over the performance incidents to the petitioner. I'm happy to answer any questions if staff allows, but I don't know that they do.
If they want to catch you after the meeting, they can.
But we will stick around after the meeting. We won't run, so I'm happy to talk. Thank you.
Good evening, Jason Mick, Fox Developers. Not much to say after Mr. Kramer there. We've met many times and gone over the idea of the development. I think one of the biggest concerns that people have here, including myself with development, is the time frame. And that's something that we really need to take into account here. 300 and some units is going to be 7 to 10 years, more than likely, to get to about 85%. And if you watch any of these developments that are custom or semi-custom, they usually, that last 10% takes a while, including River's Edge, where they're still building or finally building out. But I'm here to take any other questions, concerns from
They can talk
the constituents.
To
I know there's probably many.
There probably are. Craig, do you have anything?
Cool.
Coke, do you get anything?
I favor regular residential.
Transier?
I'm interested in that traffic study. Okay. Since the flow of traffic is going to be going through another subdivision, I can see how that's going to shake out. So.
Funkhauser?
Yeah. Preferably, this would be a little less dense. I'm not a fan of the townhomes out here. I know the original eastern part of Christie was annexed in the 70s and has units on it. That makes sense. The additional land, this fits well with single family, traditional single family, 12,000 square foot, or maybe even slightly smaller if they are restricted. The age targeted, I know how that plays out. You target it, you market it, you don't restrict it, so it does create a student population that goes in there. Especially with the townhomes, we're seeing more and more of an increase of townhome populations, so I understand the school's concern. Traffic, definitely a concern. Not our road, not shifting off the obligation, but it's not our road. So, I don't know if the microphone's going to work, but...
Oh, yeah.
They're on. You just gotta go close.
This may be something that helps push the county to deal with Fox Road. I mean, you put 345 units, or I prefer it to be a little less, you put 300 units on Fox Road, the county's gonna have to act on this road at some point. They can't keep deferring this issue. So hopefully this brings them to the table of dealing with the issues of the road improvements that need to happen here. So I'd like to see some development here. This has been a piece that's on the books since pretty much most of us, maybe except Dan, were around here. But this is a good, and I know Dan, you made a comment about the connection, including Burning Bush, maybe that's a good thing. Walsh obviously does connect, and it goes, that's the connection that is an north-south connection. That's going to bring a lot of people pushing down to 71. That the traffic study will vet out how much is going to go through that neighborhood. I would be inclined to see how can we try to avoid interconnection of traffic, because when you're pushing traffic through these self-existing neighborhoods, that's the kind of thing we don't want to do. Fox Road is it's a collector road. Should act as a collector. It should take the volume of traffic, but it's just not built that way right now. So I think there's room for improvement here, certainly. We'll see how this plays out with a few additional conversations, but if we can increase the age restricted, get rid of the age targeted concept, and I'd say ditch the townhomes.
One thing I'd like to add to that is the design criteria of the fourplexes really pushes towards a certain kind of people living there in terms of whether they have kids, the amount of people living in there. And one of the big design criteria is having first floor master. So when you have a first floor master and maybe two bedrooms in the second floor, or maybe one bedroom in the second floor, or just ranch style, it's going to be a very limited number of kids that will be impacting the school age kids. So part of that criteria is what we shoot for when we talk about age targeted. So as an example, if you have three or four kids, you're not going to be looking into a first floor master with one bedroom above for grandkids or something like that. You just see a lot less in the study.
Yeah, I'm a with Alderman Funkhauser, I'm not a fan of the townhomes, fourplexes. Maybe I could get sold on the duplexes, but as of right now, that's pretty much where I'm standing on that. What is the next step, Christy?
There's a public hearing scheduled for April 9th.
But that's tentative per them having a secondary or another meeting, correct?
That's tentative to them having a community meeting.
Okay. All right.
I would agree with you in point to the townhouses 10 years ago, but with today's economy, you buy what you can afford and you cram as many people in as you can. And that seems to be the going. I mean, if you look at Oswego, that's what's going on there. Even their age targeted, their school districts are just going on there. So your studies agree, but right now, I don't think the study holds water.
Okay. They do reduce the amount, though. And if you look at Oswego, they have a lot of two-story, three-bedroom, two-bath, lower budget. They don't follow the criteria that Yorkville has that we would meet or exceed, for instance, with the same kind of look of the surrounding areas, the different developments with masonry fronts, high-grade siding, things like that. So you end up with a lower budget also. The other thing to remember is how we go about the development. So with age restricted probably being the first things to go in, which I don't think we've talked about phasing or anything like that too much, that would also give the schools more time to adapt. You basically have, you know, no impact at that point. And that's over a third of the units. Keep that in mind as well. So. You know, we have that in mind. We're part of the community too. I have six kids in the community that are actively involved, so we see it.
All right, thank you. There will be no further action on that. What, you got one more?
Just so we're still debating this whole age targeted thing. Christy, how do you think you're going to have anything by April 9th? Because I would think that's really optimistic.
So normally the way this works is there's a petition filed and it goes through the process with feedback given. City Council can direct changes prior to meetings, but traditionally it's been take it to a public hearing, take it to Park Board, take it to PZC, get it in front of City Council before wholesale changes. Now if everybody's feedback is here and there's six aldermen here, you know, that townhouses are just, you know, not acceptable. The petitioner has a choice, you know, as to whether they want to revise the plan and reset the timeline potentially. or to, you know, go ahead with the public hearing and see what, you know, the feedback is given at the public hearing.
And from our point of view as a petitioner, Ken, if it requires more than one plan commission meeting, that's certainly fine. And if we're not ready to go ahead at that point, and that's happened before where we've gotten input, as Bart's saying, that we haven't been able to get all of our answers, we can request staff to call the public hearing to order and continue it to another meeting as well. It would be well publicized. There'd be no sleight of hand, and we can certainly do that.
Yeah, so just in an effort to kind of move things along, Craig, you said you were not interested in townhouses. Ken said the same thing. Seaver, you haven't said anything yet.
Oh, and Seaver still. I'm sorry, Seaver.
Okay. Dan said the same thing. Joe said the same thing. Chris, you said the same thing generally.
I said something about the traffic. Okay. I think 100.
Nothing on the townhouses.
I think 112 quads is a lot. Yeah.
Okay. So, is the preference then that you're somewhat okay with duplexes, or is that also?
Greenbrier does have a handful of duplex buildings. What is it, 12? So maybe 24 units. So there are some. I'm not opposed to duplexes. They have to be situated right because you've got some county lots to the west, which are larger. White Oak, granted they're across the street. So I would say if you're going to do something with a density play, it has to be strategically placed. And so if you were to do townhomes, they'd have to be interior to the development and they'd have to be age restricted.
Sure.
I would not. But right now, I think you have 120 townhomes, give or take.
I think 121 to be exact.
There we go. Yeah. 120 units. Yeah, so 120 towns, which I think is high for this site. You know, but if it was a small handful, just like I said, Greenbrier has a handful of duplexes. If you went to some attached, I think it's too high right now.
Yeah, I could maybe buy it on the duplexes if they were restricted and less of them.
Okay. Dan, any?
Well, in regards to the duplexes, and I know you guys are asking for a deviation from the parking, that's going to be a tough sell for me. The duplexes in Greenbrier, I live on Walsh Drive. I don't have any problem with the duplexes, but there are certain duplexes that have 5-6 cars, two of them, and their garages are packed with stuff, so they don't utilize their garages. So they'll have two cars in the driveways and four cars on the streets, so the parking with the higher density units is probably going to be a sticking point for me, just so the streets are clogged with units that have 4 or 5 cars in each, which I wouldn't expect with age targeted or age restricted. Right. You're not going to have 4 teenage kids, each with their own jalopy, parked on the street. But again,
now we were once all kids, so easy on kids. Well, they are our future.
I've got kids, and that comment about age restricted, not having kids, I'm going to be the outlier on that. I'll be 55 and have kids still in high school. Oh yeah,
right?
We started late, so the parking is going to be a concern. I lived in a quad. I don't really have much an objection to them because that's where I started. That's where my first child was born. And then we migrated to something else. So I can see a market for it. But that's a lot. What you guys are proposing for quad development is a lot. It really is. So
I would echo the parking on Walsh.
Hey, Brian?
Yeah.
On Walsh. Yeah.
It's this.
So when you take a look at that parking issue, off-street parking would be a necessity. So that's the way the ordinance is written, is you have that additional parking. So you have to find a place to put some off-street parking, not just the on-street parallel parking that we have allowed on streets. So if you're going to do anything attached, you got to stick to that. That I would say is a non-negotiable.
I would agree with them. Where I'm at over in Conover, we have quite a few duplexes, and we run into the same issue, the parking and streets being lined. And over there, we don't have sidewalks, we don't have curbs, so half the time they're halfway parked in the yard. Even if it's not their yard, they park in their neighbor's yards. So I would agree, parking.
And Conover's was our prehistoric age-restricted before there was such a thing as age-restricted. That's where our older residents migrated to. Conover's were a great family custom builder, beautiful brick product, nice craftsman inside. Those white duplexes that are on the curve on 47 go all the way back to a gentleman who was still laying bricks in his late 80s, Ira Perkins. Again, incredibly well built. So that was our older citizens' housing for decades. And it stood the test of time.
Seaver, you got anything?
Nothing more than what I've heard so far.
Okay.
Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for the citizen comments. Again, we certainly will be meeting with the school district as we move through. We're keenly aware of that. And the petitioner has some very, very good athletes that are at our Yorkville High School, so he's a good one to keep in town. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, everyone.
We got four other items. They won't be this. I believe the petitioner said he will be out there. You guys, I can give you a couple minutes if you guys want to mosey on out there. The rest of the stuff's just reporters. But you're more than welcome to stay. No, they're going outside. You can talk to them when they leave. There'll be other meetings that before we vote. Move on to EDC 2025 building permit report for January.
All right, January we had 11 commercial permits issued, 10 single family attached, and 7 single family detached.
Any questions on that? All right. EDC 2025-19 building inspection reports for January.
All right, in January we did 275 inspections. Mostly single-family homes. Slow market.
EDC 2025-20 property maintenance reports for January.
We heard no cases at hearing in January. We did have four or five complaints, but they all ended up coming out to be compliant before the deadline for issuing citations.
Number four, EDC 2025-21 economic development report.
The report in your packet. I don't know if anyone has any questions. But I also wanted to reintroduce you to Caitlin Gregory. I know all of you know her. She's been with the city for 7 years. But yesterday, her and I started working together, and she's now the economic development coordinator for the city of Yorkville. So
congratulations. Any questions? Okay. Any old business? No old business. Any additional business? Oh, any corrections on the minutes? Because I completely skipped those. Yeah. Okay. Any corrections? All right, we're good. Adjournment. We're good.